Hi guys, this week on the Zainab Kanu Show, we are continuing with Lillian Victoria on the importance of being you unapologetically. If you missed last week's episode, please go ahead and listen to last week's episode so you can follow the conversation that we are having this week.
In the last company, at the board meeting, I didn't go into detail of this, but just know that at the board meeting was a day that was my ex-husband's court day for domestic violence. The judge was trying to get me to testify against him. I did not show up. They put a bench warrant on me. And I was in a board meeting. I was there. I was not there. You know, I was walking in the hallway crying, and they used that against me, saying that I am
unstable.
I'm unstable. I'm emotional because I'm supposed to be the leader, right? But what I've learned from that is I needed to be vulnerable. At that time, I did not tell anyone in the workplace nor my friends what was going on until after, because I was scared. Because if I did tell the few I did, of course they're gonna help me and all this. They're going, you need a divorce, you need to leave. But I was still in that. They called it victim, I guess, a better mindset. Like, I was still like trying to save the marriage. I was like, no, he was just going through a tough time. I had so many people tell me this. I even have it in the messages. They go, listen to yourself, Lillian, listen to yourself. Cause like, I guess it's a typical, I was in that state of mind. I was confused and I was lost and I was trying to put everything together and I couldn't, and fear just consumed everything. Everything just like shattered. I forget what I was trying to say, but.
No. I get what you're saying. And you're just talking about, you know, even though some friends were not there, you still had friends that you didn't even have a relationship. We're just talking about the importance of a supportive friend.
Yeah. So I had friends that came out of nowhere. They just saw my Facebook post and just all they did was check in like, hey, how are you doing? Like, hey, you know, and just give me the belief. They didn't even have to do anything. Well, I have one friend and her husband. Her husband, by the way, I didn't know at all. Okay, he just heard my story. And then all they said was, I'm always here for you. His name is Yumi and Sam. I really feel like I owe them my life. They did offer me a place to stay for 2 months when I was trying to figure it out. Because I went back to Asia for a little bit to stay with my mom. I don't have family here. I came back. I had to figure it out. The compassion, the husband just so happened to be in wealth management. So I needed to get my finances together. He took me under his wing, you know? Yeah. And, then till this day, they're so just supportive. And I was just like, you know, the kindness like this, like you, this is how everyone should be. You know what I mean? I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I could speak for myself because I experienced this. And Bob Proctor, this is what he says too. He says, always leave someone better when you found them. You know, because you want to talk about the law of prosperity, this is how the energy flows, right? So he always says, receive graciously and give graciously. So my whole point is, through my life experience and then through just going under an amazing teacher and being surrounded with a great community and really see people's life change and improve in the different results. It's like you have to keep giving good back. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to what you focus on is what you manifest. You just said that, right? You focus on the positive, that's what's going to manifest. You focus on being victimized in a negative, that's what's going to manifest, right? They say worry is the prayer for disaster, you know? So, but even...
Ooh, I never heard that.
Never heard of that? Yeah. Worry, because what happens is, you know, do you know how the mind works? Subconscious mind. And so our mind, we have the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, right? The conscious mind is the intelligent and intellects, the thinkings that you can reject or accept an idea, right? That's where all the idea form. Subconscious mind is where all the emotion and the beliefs are. When we make a decision, when we take an action, 96, 98% comes from our subconscious mind. That's why a lot of people run into what we call the knowing doing gap. You know what you need to do, but you don't know how to get there. Because what happened is you subconsciously, intellectually, you know that I need to do this to get to my goal. But subconsciously, right, you're not believing yourself. That's mm-hmm. why people get stuck. Or we get so bogged up with, oh, what about, what is he going to think? What is she going to think? The reality is they don't care. They're not going to care what you think. Even if they do, it'll be a split second. Like, oh, she's saying that. Oh, you know, like, whatever. It's your life. And what I've learned to tell myself when I have, because I used to care about what people think about me a lot. When I, that thought happened, then I asked myself, do I want to live the life that I want to live, or do I want to live the life that that person wants me to live? Once you have it black and white, then you know how to get to where you want.
Perfect transition into the questions that we have here, which you already have an idea of. And I mean, it really, you just talk about being unapologetically you. Because it's like, well, do I want to live the life that they want me to live? Or do I want to live the life that I want to live? So tell us, what does it mean to be unapologetically you?
Free. It's simple. Free.
Look like.
Yeah, it's just free. You just stop caring what other people think. And I also feel like once you're you, you really attract the people that really accept you for who you are, and you start blossoming. You know, I feel like before, in my last marriage, where I don't want to display my own marriage. I think it's the upbringing, the old paradigm.
Right.
I cared too much about people think. That made no sense. You know, I feel like I had to stay in entertainment because that's what I was seeing. And I felt like I was pigeonholed, but when I was like, I don't have a purpose. Now I have a very good purpose. And then what happens is you just start attracting the people that likes you for who you are, accepts you for who you are. And when you're in your own skin, and when you have a vision, just go do it. You stop caring about what people's criticism, opinions, everyone's going to have an opinion. Everyone's going to have their voice. But how do you bypass it, right? So, freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom. It's freedom.
Freedom. I love that. I so love that because it's something that I am acquiring right now. It's like I'm not quite free, but I'm almost free because I still kind of think a little bit what, you know, I think about what people think of me a little bit, and certain decisions I haven't been able to make because I'm like, well, there's a little bit of fear. And then I'm like, oh, people are going to judge me. And they're going to say, who does she think she is? Why does she want to do blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh, my God, am I going to survive? So I still have that. But I have a taste of the freedom, you know, like I have a taste of it. And I'm like, this tastes good. I like this taste, freedom, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about when you say sometimes you still have some of like, oh, this person's going to be judgmental.
And I do. Sometimes I'm like, especially in my community, I am so different from a lot of women in my community. Like I love people for who they are, but a lot of times people don't know how to accept me for who I am. I don't try to tell people how to live their life, how to be, how to do. But I don't know why, if it's because I invited that at an earlier age in my life, like in my 20s, where people just feel like they can dictate how I should live my life. So I just got to the point where I just got so sick and tired. And I'm like, you're not going to tell me what to do. Like I said, I'm not fully there. But sometimes I'm like, oh, what would they say? But then what I get this amazing feeling from is like when I do it anyway, and then I'm like, yes.
Yes. I'm right there with
you. Who cares? Oh, listen, I got to show you something that I have.
Yeah,
show me. This is what I just got. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah. And by the way, I found the book that I was going to tell you. It's called Mothers Who Can't Love, A Healing Guide for Daughters.
What is the healing guide for daughters?
Yeah, it's actually a really good book. It's called Mothers Who Can't Love, A Healing Guide for Daughters.
Have I read that? Mothers Who Can't Love.
Forward. I can send it to you.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you on Amazon.
But yeah. This is what I created. Do you see this?
Click it. Was it?
Oh, no, hold on.
I love it.
I created it. Because you know what? Truly, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's my fucking bucket.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And you know what? Also, most of the times, so these projections of judgments, a lot of times it's also our head, our voice talking to us.
I know.
Many times it's like that. You know, so what I ended up doing that worked for me, and maybe it could work for you, is I write it out. You know, sometimes I just have these like feelings, and you know, emotions are something you can't bypass sometimes. But to just, if I know this is what I want to do, because courage is to take action despite the fear and anxiety.
Ooh.
Okay, that's courage. So, and when you're comfortable being uncomfortable, that's when the magic is going to happen. So these are the two phrases that goes through my head almost every day. Like this morning, I was thinking about it. I was acting on it. So what I do is, despite the uncomfortable feeling, for my conscious mind to make a good decision, I write out the pros and then the cons. I can give you a very recent example.
Okay.
I just sold my house, and it was a very tough decision. You know, when me and my husband got divorced, the house is the one that I fought for, and he took the other assets that we have. And that house is a family house. So I grew up there. We got that house renovated because we thought it was going to be a forever house for my son. But of course, life happens. And COVID was happening, right? Bob is always saying, you create your own economy. You create your own environment. Don't let outside dictate you. So it was a very tough decision for me to decide if I want to sell the house, right? Because the decision was already made. It's just when COVID happened, I wasn't sure. And I have tenants in there, okay? And to give you a perspective, the tenants were, they pay rent on time. The rent was $5,500. So it was like, it was not like a cheap rent. You know what I mean? But I made the decision based on the pro and con. I wrote, if I don't sell the house, the tenant wants to renew, right? And then I could renew it. But then me and my son would have to suffer because I need to get him to a place. I want to provide him a steady home where I could get him to a really good school system. You know, kids, you don't want them to be floating around. He's already floated around with me last year. Like I was couch surfing at friend's place. I was in Asia. I was figuring things out. That was the year of the divorce. That's what I call it, the divorce year. Figuring out here. And finding myself, divorce, but finding myself here. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, but I wrote it down and I decided to make that decision. And at the first, of course, the tenant, they weren't like the easiest tenants to deal with, but I got vulnerable with them. I learned my mistake. I got vulnerable with them. They knew I was going through divorce. The attitude went from, why are you selling now? To, I have my full support. They're very cooperative. My agents, I have a really great story on them.
Mm-hmm.
But to fast forward, I just accepted an offer yesterday over asking price during COVID-19. I know. And we are
going
to open escrow today. Yeah. And this is where I want to really talk to you about the power of the mind. Because I would say I've been through a lot of things, but this is definitely very scary because there's a lot at stake, right? You know, I have a child, a lot of finance decisions. You're kind of putting it out there. I have manifested that the perfect family is going to love this house and they're going to buy it. And it's going to be above asking price by this date. And that had all happened. And my agent, this is where like I need to talk about this a little because this is the mind power. When the house first list, and keep in mind, because of COVID, there's no open houses. Real estate is an essential business. There are guidelines that they have to follow per CDC. So it's the showing is that much more difficult than just an open house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So The first that they had one, it's not even open house. They had an open sort of a, they bring people in like 2 hours last Saturday. They had like 6 showings. We got an offer right away, but it was below asking price. The agent was freaking out. He was like, you know, it's just quiet right now. I don't know. You know, not, cause he was trying to convince me to take the offer. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to live in lack and limitation. And then the conversation we had is, are we willing to lose this buyer? And I then put on my coaching hat, my consultant hat, my thinking and result hat. I spin it back to him. And I was like, look, when I signed up, I knew I signed up with the top agent in Los Angeles. You told me when we signed up, when people run away from fear, you pushed against fear. He's like, right? He goes, yeah. And I go, we need to put our heads together and figure out how we're going to get more eyeballs during this time. And there is this thing called the 333 story, the 333 strategy. Basically, it's a story happened in a company in Canada where they spent 3 hours raising they spent 3 hours strategizing in the next 3 business days to raise $3 million. And the principle of that whole strategy meeting was anything that is a no, you can't, you throw it out the window right away. You only focus on the can and you figure out a game plan and you go. So I went through that with him. We went through his fears because I was like, stop working harder. We are the most creative creatures on this planet. We are the only planet that could, I mean, not the planet. We're the only animals that we could think. Mm-hmm. How do we be creative? How do we get people? You know, and figured out cold calling and warm calling. Calling people is one of his weakest links. So we worked on that. I'm telling the results are insane. He broke through his terror barrier. He came back like a rock star. Within 24 hours, he gave me multiple offers above asking price. And I was like, damn, look at you. Because what happened with his mind is he shifted from, oh, I don't know if I can, because I called him out too. He was like, you know, I'll try to see if I can. I'm going to try really hard. And I go, stop trying harder. I was like, you're telling me that you're going to try to get more eyeballs on it, but I don't think you believe it. Silence. Because I could read him, you know. But once he was empowered and he recognized his true potential, and then through our conversation, he's also a fan of Think and Grow Rich. So he was talking to me about it and his goals and his life, and he went through a divorce, but his promise to his kid. And the story was amazing. So we both got fired up. The results he turned in was amazing. And I'm just like, the power of the mind, because I got so into it. I not even did work with him. I called his staff. I was like, you know, we got, like, everyone needs to come together. And the reason why I did that is I'm not a real estate agent, so I'm not going to be able to call people. Mm-hmm. But what I know I can do is empower people, right? I need to empower them to get their head into the right place so we could do the deal. Granted, that was my house, I admit, but I also told them that you guys, you know, this could be just one house, and I know you guys are very busy, but once you guys could bypass this one and overachieve and over-deliver, you could use this technique on every single listing that you have. The results were insane. I just cannot even, like, yeah, it just goes to your mind. Wherever you put your mind power at, your energy at, that is what's going to manifest. It could be a real estate, it could be a relationship, it could be money. You know, you see a lot of those with money, because a lot of people, what they do is they're like, oh, I'm going to use the law of attraction. I'm going to manifest like this amount of money. Great. But you got to take action. Mm-hmm. You got to bypass your own fears. You have to be uncomfortable. You have to be unsteady. It's going to feel chancy. You got to take the risk to get there. It's not like, okay, I'm going to write it every single day and lay back on my bed and be like, okay, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. That is true. I love that. And congratulations on selling your home. Mm-hmm. Now you get to start all over creating the home that you desire now. So that's exciting. I think that's exciting. So, wow. Well, thank you for sharing that too. So if someone is listening that's doing real estate, hopefully at a time like this, they will get from that.
Yeah.
So we talked about courage. We talked about how you were before and overcoming your fears. You talked a lot about that. So what happens when being you is rejected? How can someone bounce back from that?
Get used to it. That's what I do. I used to feel very vulnerable when I get rejected. Now I just push through it, because what happened is when you're so focused on a vision and a goal, that is, you're so emotionally involved, you will do whatever it takes to get there, you know? And I always look at the successful entrepreneurs like Sarah Balick, Sphinx, the Steve Jobs, even Dyson. They have taken so many rejections before they became successful. Even J-Lo, she just did that. She said she had to take, she said she's probably been around like 200 movies, but she had to take 500 rejections. It's a part of the process. That doesn't mean you're a failure. Failure is when you give up. That's when you failed.
That is so good, because right now, at a point in my life, what I am trying to do is just become okay with being rejected.
Mm.
So, yes. So when I experience a rejection, you know, because I'm doing this podcast and eventually, of course, I want it to be like a show and all of that good stuff. And so I remember the first time I went to New York to kind of pitch my stuff. Man, that day was full of rejections. I was like, oh my gosh. And that was the first time I came face to face. But I don't know why. For some reason, I didn't feel rejected. All that happened inside of me was, okay, what's my next step?
I love that.
Yeah, that was like, okay, what's my next step? Okay, what do I need to do? Because they were like, well, we need to see more. We need to do this. We need to do this. I'm like, okay. All right. I got it. You know, what is my next step? And even when I experienced rejection at work, or I just had I just took a class at work and the instructor clearly didn't like me. But, you know, I was like, I'm still going to give my best in this class and I'm going to do everything I can. I don't know what it is. I can't focus on the fact that he has some kind of residue of something that I'm not a part of, that he's, you know, kind of pushing on me. Mm-hmm. I need to focus and learn as much as I can and then keep it moving. And when he was done, he came to me. He said, you know, I know it feels like I was picking on you, but I didn't mean to pick on you, blah, blah, blah. And he was trying to like justify his behavior in the class, mm-hmm. or whatever. I didn't ask him. He just came up to me, started talking. And I just thought to myself, first, if you had to come to talk to me about it, you knew exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
Trying to break me. And I didn't say that to him, but I was like, you know, thank you for the experience. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to dwell on it. And I came and I put it in my fucking bucket.
Love it. You go, girl. Rip it, put it away, throw it away, move on. Don't even let it take any energy of you. That's so good.
You know, and I'm like, this is a rejection. And then I just thought about all the things that I want to do and how I want to inspire women, empower women to do more and be more and just change their lives and know that you can, you know, look at me. If you had seen me a couple of years ago, listen, you wouldn't even think I would be here the way I am right now. But I'm just trying to, like, all these things that I want to do, I want to accomplish, I'm like, I'm going to face a lot of rejection.
Mm.
You know, I have even friends that don't think, you know, that probably don't want me to be successful by some of the actions that they are. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to focus. I got to focus.
And you're doing good, because that's when I totally agree. So when I want to do something, I don't talk to a lot of people. Nope. I have a mastermind. No, I don't, because I don't want my fire or my vibration to get lowered. When I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to stop. You know what I mean? I'm not going to stop. But, you know, you definitely have those Debbie Downers. So I would really highly recommend and doing a mastermind. So mastermind is like-minded people that support each other. I'm going to grab a book. I'll be right back. Okay. What you do need is you do need the support, you know, and like-minded individuals to keep you going. Because sometimes all you need to do, all you need is to have someone believe in you.
That's basically
what it is. And there was Seek Failure.
What book is that?
This is called U Square. You should definitely get it. It's $10. I read it every night and I get something out from it. Because we need constant reminder to know that wherever we're going, we're gonna get there. But we have to go through these steps. So failure is a failure. Huh?
I said seek failure. I love that.
Yeah, it says failure is a resource. It helps you find the edge of your capacity. Okay. So the quantum leap demands a willingness to make mistakes. You cannot hold up in a safe zone of behavior where you have beaten the odds of failing. I mean, I could go off on this, but the whole point is when you fail, when you get rejections, it's okay. You just have to keep going. If you listen to any of the startups, like the podcasts, all the entrepreneurs, everyone that has a vision, they took a lot of rejections.
Yes.
But they persevered. And that's what we have to do. You know, whether it's for your podcast, I know some people are doing it for their health. You know, I have a buddy, Harmon. He, two and a half years ago, he was in the hospital. The doctor said he probably couldn't make it. But he had the mind to be like, I am going to make this work. And he got better and healthy through music. You know, so now he's like on stage and he practices everything, meditation, he understands the quantum physics, everything, but through music, he just wants to raise the vibration. He wants that energy to be at a really, you know, happy place because that's what's going to keep it going and then just keep going with the vision. People are going to judge people. Sometimes family members are the meanest people. You're going to judge, you're going to be talking but you know, we live our life the way we want, right?
I know all about family members judging, so I just pushed through it. And, you know, I didn't even know I was seeking failure. I just knew that for me, I'm more like at this stage in my life, I'm like, you know what? What I tell myself is I got to get comfortable with being rejected. That's what I tell her. I pump myself up. I got to get comfortable being rejected because I'm going to be rejected so many times. I just got to get used to it, you know, so where it doesn't faze me and it doesn't prevent me from working. You know, so when I get rejected at work, I get rejected personally. I'm like, okay, all right. It's not as bad as it used to be because before, if I get rejected, we're talking about I'll be out for like a whole week plus.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Dealing with the whole rejection. Now I'm like, shoot, it is what it is. And I move on.
Let's find the next one, you know, because the universe always has a plan for us.
It is. So I want to ask you, what are some of the coping mechanisms people should have? Because we just talked a little bit about it, which is just
coping. I think self-talk is really important. Be your own best friend and be your own cheerleader. You know, it's as simple as talking to yourself. Right. Another one, workout or meditation or both. Like I like to do both. My favorite sport is yoga because it's two combined in one. Everyone's different because, you know, when you work out, you get the endorphins. That's how I didn't work out. I didn't have time to work out in the past. And that's when I was taking a lot of these like drugs. And now fast forward. I don't need anything because my mind's at a better place, but also through meditation and through workout, I was able to just get to a better place, you know?
Awesome. So what is your one word for a motherless daughter? Someone where, cause you know, a mom's love is everything. And they don't have that hole in that space that they had.
and they're trying to navigate through this toxic world mm-hmm. that has been created from childhood, and now they don't even know how to get rid of that. What is your one word for them?
Self-love. You gotta love yourself, right?
Love yourself, folks.
Yeah, we gotta love ourselves.
So, what are the three most influential people in your life to get you to where you are today?
That is a good question. I think the first one is my son, Caleb. Yeah, because I think without him and the strong desire of being the mother that my mother was never to me, that got me out of the dark hole. I believe so. Yeah, so that's number one. Another one to get me to where I'm at. I would say my ex-husband, you know, despite the relationship was crazy, I still was with him for 15 years. I still think he's a really good person, and he's very, you know, I mean, we did have a lot of crazy stories and experience, but I also know that he didn't do it on purpose. He just grew up in an environment that he thought that was his normal, right? So I think without those experiences, I wouldn't be me. And then the third one, as crazy as it sound, I would say it's my ex-business partner. And we ended up very ugly, by the way. But because of that experience, I mean, you know, everyone made mistakes. It's a business. You know what I mean? But I've grown so much from that experience because I know how to run a company. I recognize mistakes that I made. The biggest thing is I learned how to be, I needed to be vulnerable, but I believe God, there was a reason God took me out of that situation because I didn't belong in there. There is bigger things, bigger purpose for me to do. It wasn't just to sit there and just create content for just to sell a show, you know, and try to create that revenue stream. That was not inspiring.
Yeah.
So everything. So yeah, because like, you know, I always hear, and I do that for myself now. You know, you always, when you wake up, right? When you do your gratitude list, you know, give thanks to those who hurt you or send them positive messages, which is like really hard because sometimes I just want to choke them.
Yeah. But
after practicing it for so long, and then where I'm at now, I look back, I'm like, yeah, that all had to happen. If it didn't happen, I would be at a very complacent place and probably still don't know, just didn't have to look at myself for who I am.
Yeah. So this is what accountability looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You are holding yourself very accountable and you're working towards changing your life and you're very optimistic about the future. It sounds to me from our conversation that you believe you're going to have a very good future with a healthy marriage, a healthy career, as well as more kids. I think I gather that.
Yes, you did. You read my mind. I do want more kids. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wish you the best on that journey. Again, I applaud you for everything that you have done thus far in terms of just taking ownership of your life and creating the space, the life that you want that is conducive to your health or for your health. So yeah. Congratulations. And just keep, you know, just keep doing it and know that there's someone here in the East Coast that's, you know, cheering you on and wishing you the best. And I want to see you thrive in whatever you tap into.
Thank you. You too. You too, sister. This is so good. I love it. Thank you so much for spending time with me. Hi, everyone. This is Lillian Victoria. I am the founder of awesomenesslifestyle.com. You can reach me from there or Lillian, LILLIAN, at awesomenesslifestyle.com. I am a specialist in mindset coaching. I teach a program that Bob Proctor has designed called Thinking Into Results that will help you make that paradigm shift and get the results that you want in life. And if you need a 30-minute strategy call, call me and we'll set it up. Thank you.
Awesome. And what's your social media, your Instagram?
It's Awesomest Lifestyle Dash. So AWESOMNESSLIFESTYLE _.
All right, everyone. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. If you love this episode, please, please, please share it with someone in need of healing. Share it on all social media platforms or just plain old text messages, okay? Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook support group page, and subscribe to the YouTube channel at The Zainab Kanuz Show. Thank you for all the love and support. Until next time, be so good, be so kind, be so patient, and be so loving to yourself.